Our brother will be coming up to speak to us soon, but just before he does, I'm going to read Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, may the Lord seal the blessing of His word in our hearts this morning. Amen.
Shall we just pray again? Hallelujah. Lord, we do just worship You and praise You today. We thank You that we can come to You expecting to hear a word from You. We are hungry for a word from You, and we just ask, Lord, that You would anoint, that You would bless, that You would empower the preaching now, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I have a second reading, and this is from Ruth chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, that's to Ruth, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And now is not Boaz of our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man, until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down, and he will tell thee what thou shalt do. And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me I will do. And she went down unto the floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly, and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. I don't know how well you know the story of Ruth. Ruth was a young Moabitess living in Moab, and into her area came this family from Israel, Naomi and her husband, Elimelech, and their two sons. And they come to Moab because there is a famine in Judah, and they're seeking really after a better life. And so they come to Moab. And whilst they are there, Ruth marries one of the sons. Now, in the course of time, things start to go wrong. Elimelech, the father and husband of Naomi, dies, as do both of the sons. And so this young woman, Ruth, is left without a husband in Moab with her mother-in-law. And so Naomi, the mother-in-law, hears that there is bread that back in Bethlehem, where they've come from. She hears that the famine is over, and so she decides to go back. And the two daughters-in-law say that we will come with you. And she says, no, don't come with me. There's nothing there really for you. I've got no more sons to give you. There isn't a husband for you. So don't come with me, but stay here. And one of the daughters-in-law agrees and says, I will stay with my own people here. But Ruth decides to go with Naomi. And she decides to leave Moab, leave the place where she is, and to follow with Naomi, to go back with her to Bethlehem in Judah. But I want to say this morning that there was clearly something in the heart of Ruth that she was seeking after. There was a hunger in her heart. And I believe it was more than just loyalty and faithfulness to Naomi. There was something in her heart that she really desperately wanted. And as Naomi sets out to go back to her own land, there is something that is drawing the heart of Ruth. And there's something within her that says, I must go with Naomi. And here we find in chapter 1 and verse 16, this is what Ruth replies to Naomi when Naomi has said, don't come with me. Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. So there was clearly something in the heart of Ruth that desired not just the provision of the bread that was going to be there in Bethlehem, but there was something that desired God himself. And this is the beginning of a journey that Ruth makes, her spiritual journey, where she is hungering after more than the current situation. She's hungering, I believe, after God himself. And so we find, as the story continues, that she goes back with Naomi, and when they are back in Bethlehem, and it is the time of barley harvest, that she seeks to be faithful, she seeks to be obedient to God and what God would desire of her. And it was the law that if a farmer had a field that they were harvesting, that they couldn't get every last grain. They had to leave some for the poor to come and to glean. And so Ruth sets out and she goes into the field to glean the barley, to pick up what the reapers have left. And so she is out in that position where she is just being faithful. She is gleaning the barley, and she is seeking to do, as it were, what she can. And really the lesson that I want to draw out of this morning is the importance, as we are moving forward in our Christian lives, our desire to walk with God, in just being faithful in the small things. And as Ruth began her walk, She began it with having that hunger after God and a desire for God and saying, there's something more, there's something out there of God that I want. I want this God to be my God. But then as she goes forward, she goes into the place where there is one thing that she's able to do. Perhaps there was nothing else really that she could do. No other kind of work could she do. But the one piece of work that God had for her, that was what she was willing to do. And in this place where gleaning of the barley was the one thing that was available to her, that was what she was able to do. That's what was what she was willing to do. And she goes out into the field, and there in the field she is faithful to what it seems God has called her to do. And she might have had a great ambition to do great things. She might have said, well, I'd like to be the wife of a rich man. I'd like to be a great person. I might like to be great, in the kingdom of God, a great servant of God. But there's this one little job for her to do, a menial job, a hard job, as it were, working in the sun. And she says, that's what I'm willing to do for now. This is what is in my hand to do, and that's what I'm willing to do. And sometimes if we have a desire to go forward in spiritual things, the key thing for us to do is to be faithful in the one little thing that is in our hands to do. And God has maybe put something small in our hands, some small area of service, something to care for, something to look after, something to do. And his great desire is that we should be faithful in that small thing. And not to even to think beyond, to think of some great thing that we wish that we were doing, but to be faithful in the small thing. Hallelujah. And so we see that as she went out and she was gleaning this harvest, it was that Boaz, that she caught the eye of Boaz. Now, if she'd been doing something else, she wouldn't have caught the eye of Boaz. But there is Boaz, and he's a very rich man. He says a mighty man of wealth. And he owns this land, and he has this great barley harvest. And because she's just doing this thing, she catches his eye. And he asks who she is, and it's explained to him. And it says... verse 11 of chapter 2, Boaz says, it has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The heart of Boaz was so blessed as he saw the heart of Ruth, seeing what Ruth had done in leaving her own people and coming with Naomi. And this is, Boaz is of course a type of the Lord Jesus. And as Ruth caught the eye of Boaz, so if we are faithful in the small thing, if we're doing what God has called us to do, we will catch the eye, as it were, of the Lord Jesus. And he will be blessed as he sees what we are doing. But it says that as Boaz spoke to her, as Ruth had been gleaning, that Boaz said to her, stay with my people, stay with my servants, they will look after you, they won't harm you, you'll be in a place of safety. You can eat our food, you can have our drink that has been drawn from the well. You can dip your bread in the vinegar. He said, in this place, you've caught my eye, and this is a place of blessing for you. It's a place where you will be cared for. And so it is for us. If when we are in that place where we are being faithful to the Lord, faithful to the calling of the Lord, then that will be a place where, having caught the eye of the Lord Jesus, that he will give us the blessing. He will give us our meat in due season. He will give us the thing that we need, step by step. And sometimes we are seeking after this other work to do, perhaps this other blessing, and in that place perhaps we won't be in blessing. But it's in the simple place where we're doing the simple work and we're being faithful to God in the little thing that God has called us to do, that is the place where the blessing will come. And God will say, here is your bread for today, here is something that's going to satisfy you, here's something that's going to refresh you. In that place where you're faithfully doing just the little thing that God has called you to do. But this is a journey that Ruth is taking. It starts in Moab, but it doesn't end there. And she moves to this place where she is gleaning in the fields of Boaz, and she has caught the eye of Boaz, but it doesn't end there. Coming into chapter 3, in the passage that we read, we might say almost within the heart of Ruth there was a desire for more. And we may have a desire in our hearts for more of God, more of the Lord Jesus. And as she seeks to be faithful and seeks to do the right thing, Naomi gives her some advice and tells her a way by which she can draw close to Boaz and come into, as it were, an intimate meeting with Boaz. Yes, she's met with Boaz before. She's spoken to him. She's known the blessing of Boaz. But here her mother-in-law Naomi is explaining how she can come into a place of blessing and intimacy with Boaz. And she says, wait till he has done for the day. He's done his work for the day and he's eaten and he's had plenty to drink and he's happy. And he goes and he lies down at the end of the heap of corn. And go and lie at his feet. Uncover his feet and go and lie at his feet. And so this is what Ruth does. She goes where Boaz is lying and asleep and uncovers his feet and lies there. And it comes to pass that at one point in the night, he wakes up and he senses that there is someone there. And he says, who are you? And she says, I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread therefore your skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. She's saying, will you cover me? Cover me with, as it were, the edge of your garment. Cover me. Give me that place. Give me that protection. Give me that thing that I need. To bring me into a place where I am covered, where I am protected, where I am close to you. And we may think of the position that Ruth had been in. She was in a place of vulnerability. If you think what she had gone through in her life, how she had been a young woman in Moab, the Moabites were despised by the Jews. They were descendants of an incestuous relationship between a Lot and a daughter. That's where they came from. And so she was one of a despised race. She was a widow. Her husband had died. She had lost that which she had, as it were, on earth. The place of security that she thought she had, that was provided by her husband and provided by her father-in-law and provided by the family. That was something that she had lost. And she was poor, and she was now as a stranger in a strange land, and she'd come forth into this place. And so she comes into this place of intimacy with Boaz, and she says to Boaz, will you cover me? Will you cover me with the edge of your skirt? Will you put something over me to give me that covering, to give me that protection? And sometimes we are in a position where we are feeling vulnerable, where we're feeling weak, where we're feeling poor in spirit, where we're feeling things have gone wrong for us. And we just want to say to the Lord Jesus, will you cover me with the hem of your garment? Will you just cover me with your skirts that I might be under your protection, that I might come under your wings, be in that place where I know that I am under your protection. But I want to say this morning that the place of protection, the place of comfort, the place of safety is the place of intimacy. There is no other place. Now, Ruth had been in this position where she had got to know Boaz a little bit in the fields. And there was a level of protection, a level of blessing there. But it was not the ultimate place where she needed to be. There was a much better place. There was a place of comfort. But that place of comfort was the place of intimacy. And so as she draws nigh and comes and lies at his feet, that is the place where she's going to come under the protection of Boaz. And we know really what she's asking him to do is in practical terms to care for her, take her as his wife, and so that she has that full protection. But she's coming into the position where she is asking for his protection. And that is the one place that she's going to find protection. It's in intimacy with Boaz. As the wife of Boaz, she's going to have that absolute security. She's going to have the riches of Boaz at her disposal. She's going to have the safety. Yes, as a gleaner in her field, he said, "We will look after you." But how different is it when you're in that place of marriage to the Lord of the harvest? And so this is what the Lord would have for us as individuals. Not that we should have just an experience of God. Not that we should just be enjoying something of the blessing of God or something of the knowledge of God. But he wants us to be in that full place where we have met with God and had that close encounter of God. But more than that, where we are in a place of intimacy with the Lord Jesus. And that is, I want to say this morning, that is the one place of safety. That is the one place of safety. And for all her situation, her vulnerability, the one place of safety that Ruth would ever know was there with Boaz, under his protection, under the covering of Boaz. And the one place of protection for us as individuals in our place of vulnerability, in our place of spiritual poverty and weakness, is under the protection of the Lord Jesus. I'm not talking about being saved, but I'm talking about us abiding, dwelling in the secret place, as the hymn puts it, in that place of a covenant relationship where we are dwelling in the Holy of Holies, in a place of intimacy with the Lord Jesus, not standing outside, but staying close to the Lord Jesus. And so we find the same truth born out in Psalm 91 as we read it. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." So it's the person who is in the secret place, shut in with Jesus, who is close to him, who is under that protection, under the shadow of the Almighty. "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." You're in the place of refuge. He is your fortress. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Back in chapter 2 of Ruth, it says, Boaz says to her, "The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." And so as coming under the protection of Boaz, Ruth recognized that she was coming under the protection of God himself. That was really where her heart was. Yes, it was the Lord's leading that she came under the protection of Boaz, but there was a desire in her heart to come under the wings, the loving, caring wings, as it were, of the Lord Jesus. So this is what the Lord would say to us today, that in that position where we are intimate with Jesus, we are in a place of absolute protection. It's not enough just to be saved. It's not enough to know the blessing of God, the Lord. But if we want to be in a place of perfect safety from everything that comes against us, then we need to be in intimacy with Jesus. And just as Ruth came to Boaz, we need to, as it were, come to Jesus and say, "I want to abide close to you. I want your covering to be over me. I want to be walking closely with you." So the psalm continues and saying, "In this place of intimacy, dwelling in the secret place, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee." So all these things, all these attacks, as it were, of the devil, they can hit anybody else. But if you are in that place of intimacy, under the covering, under the wings of Jesus, then you'll be in a place of protection. "Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. Extraordinary promises. Now, we must remember this is the Word of God. This is an absolute promise. On Friday night, as I was talking to the young people, they keep asking me, how do you know that the Bible is true? And I keep telling them, one of the reasons I know that the Bible is true is because if you do what it says, God will be faithful to his promises. God keeps his promises. And just as God has said in this passage, that if we dwell in the secret place of the Most High, these are the things that will happen. We have to take it as a cast iron promise that God will keep his side. And we will be absolutely 100% protected from everything that will come against us. And whatever the devil can shoot arrows at us, they won't touch us because we are staying close to Jesus. But that's the key thing, the staying close to the Lord Jesus. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy feet against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. All these things, these blessings that come from staying close to the Lord. But it says, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. And that is the key thing. It's the love that we have for the Lord Jesus. And sometimes we lose sight of that intimacy of our relationship with the Lord Jesus, as we see that Jesus is the eternal God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who reigns. And yet he desires that we should have that closeness, that relationship of intimacy, as Ruth had with Boaz. So because he had set his love upon me, that God is saying this, because we have set our love upon him, therefore will he deliver us. He will set us on high because we have known his name. We have called upon his name. It says, he shall call, speaking of us, we shall call upon him and he will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us and he will honor us. With long life will he satisfy us and show us his salvation. And all this because we have loved him and we've chosen to be in that place of intimacy, of closeness with God. How wonderful that we can have this intimate relationship with God, the eternal God, that we can know him. But just in concluding, Ruth came to Boaz and lay at his feet and came immediately under that special protection. And Naomi said, he will not rest. Boaz will not rest until he's settled your situation. In her poverty, in her distress, in her difficulty, Naomi said, Boaz will not rest till he sorted out your problem. And here's the great blessing of this passage, that Jesus, when we come to Jesus in distress, he not only covers us, but then he goes to work to deal with the problems. He goes to work to deal with our crisis, to deal with our situation, to bring us out of the crisis in which we find ourselves. And just as Boaz sought for a way by which he could marry Ruth and sought for her future, sought to take care of her future absolutely, so the Lord Jesus wants to do the same for us, to bring us out of the difficulty, to care for our future, to bring us into the place of absolute security and absolute rest, delivering us from our problems. And that is the way that God remedies our situation. Not just in giving encouragement now, not just in giving blessing that comes from intimacy, where we feel protected and know that the Lord is covering us, but ultimately he will remedy the situation when we come to him for his care. Praise God that he will do everything that is necessary to bring us out of the place of lowness and disaster back into his blessing. Amen.